Since 1932, the name True Value has been associated with independent retailers providing customers of all ages with an expansive product set at highly competitive prices. True Value, the ultimate hardware store. When I was growing up in my small town of 1,600 people, we didn't have much, but we had a True Value. And the wood floors reminded me of just how old this store truly was. We used to go there all the time. We'd get all kinds of things. They'd have blenders and wrenches. You could get a vacuum cleaner or a Charlie Brown on a skateboard, which is, by the way, the birthday gift or Christmas gift that I got for my brother. We would buy gifts there at will because, quite honestly, it would be our last chance to get anything of value for my parents or for my brother or for each other with regards to giving season. Remember, we bought a sled one time. That was the coolest sled ever. We'd hook it up behind our tractor. My dad would pull us down a country road. And when I think about that sled, I ultimately think of True Value. You know, the words True Value are not only restricted to local hardware stores, however. They are also used to assess the merit or worth of property, products, purchases, and even people. Let's talk about purchases and products. The other day, Cam and I were out shopping, and it's inevitable we're going to find the clearance aisle, and we found the clearance aisle, and it's hard for us to say no when we see something in the clearance aisle. Normally, if it's a purchase or product opportunity, if it is a True Value, you might just buy things you never knew you needed. Oftentimes, we do that. If it's just too good to be true, we'll probably buy it, and then we'll realize that we didn't need it at all. Purchases and products certainly apply to our value system. How about property? You know, property has value. Your assessment, your assessed property value, determines the amount of tax that you pay on it. In fact, if you you're going to be shocked, I think, by this, but the new building, believe it or not, relied upon this old building to make sure that we could secure a loan. This old building has value. Many people look and say, yeah, it has sentimental value. No, it has some financial value as well, and it was incumbent for us to have this building to make sure that we could secure a loan for a new building. Let's talk about people, because people have value. As a matter of fact, our value or our values are determined by various entities based upon our skills, our talents, our gifts, our love, our service, and ultimately our merits. And you can look at this from a job standpoint. If you have been promoted, if you have received a raise, if you have got a congratulation, if there's something that happened in your workplace, it's likely because your boss, your superior, your manager said, you have value, and you likely appreciated it. Now let's talk about who determines true value. The answer to that question has nothing to do with hardware stores, but rather everything to do with our holy God. You see, our one true God determines one's true value. Are we okay with that? Because today we're going to assess how important and how valuable God and Jesus are, and then we will give them the opportunity to assess us as those who possess true and holy value. Jesus prayed to his Father in John 17, verse 3. He says, this is the way to have eternal life. By knowing you, here it comes, the only true God in Jesus Christ, the one that you sent to earth. That's not all. Jesus said about himself in John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, yes, and the truth and the life. No one can get to the Father except by means of me. So by two passages, we've established the true value of God the Father and Jesus our Savior. John says of Jesus in John 1:14, he says he is the Son who comes from the Father full of grace and truth. You see, folks, our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, are the holy and righteous and true assessors of value. But make no mistake about it, they are also the true possessors of value. They are more valuable than things or places or people, and thus their views on value are absolute and final. There is no one, and there's no ones more valuable than our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior. Now, I think it's obvious, especially when we look at this, that if we go to True Value, we will likely, or we will hopefully, find something there that gives us true value. I remember when we were young, I didn't think about this. I just went and said, ooh, cool toy, let's buy it. Ooh, nice sled, let's buy it. Today, more than ever, we're a little more cost conscious, right? And now you've got the big box hardware stores. You go to Lowe's, Menards, or Home Depot. I'm guessing if, and by the way, we did research. We think there are four True Values within a 50-mile radius. I believe they are in Leroy, Lexington, Monticello, and Mount Pulaski. If there are others, I'd love to hear from you after service. But here's what we know. If you spend any time at the big box hardware retailers, and then you go into a True Value, you might actually find, as you stare at that sign, that it was cheaper at Lowe's or Menards or Home Depot. You might look at that sign and say, I'm not sure I'm getting a True Value. But let me promise you this. When you look at God's Son, I promise you, you will see True Value. You don't need a sign. We need the Son. And when we look at God's Son, we can understand just how truly valuable Jesus Christ is. I want to take a closer look at God the Father and Jesus the Savior as assessors of what is and what has actual true value. Our sermon text today comes from 1 Peter 2, 4 through 12. We're going to break this out into sections or verses, and we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about these individual verses. Let's start with verse 4. Peter says this, 1 Peter 2, verse 4, come to Christ, who is the living foundation, capital F, of rock, capital R, upon which God builds. Though men have spurned him, he is very precious to God, who has chosen him, being Jesus, above all others. Now this is an important verse. How valuable Jesus is to his Father is undeniable. As a matter of fact, when we read this, we see that he is precious and he is chosen by God above all others. Now, if we've assessed that God is more valuable than anyone or anything, and God says he is precious and he is more valuable, we understand that God's word is sovereign. It's final. You don't have to look elsewhere for true value. You can find it right in front of you. This is what God does for us. He gives us Jesus. My question is this. Do we see Jesus' true worth and value? How precious is he to us? He is our foundation of rock upon which God builds. And folks, let me tell you something. If you don't have a foundation, you don't have a building. Can you imagine for a moment if our banker came out, by the way, he makes periodic trips out to the church just to check on the progress. Can you imagine if he walked into the new building and said, hey, it looks great from the outside. Let's take a walk inside. We walk in and there's dirt floors. And he says, wait a second. Where's the foundation? I said, I don't think they put one in. They said, well, if they didn't put a foundation and I can't secure this loan, I can't give you anything for it because it has no value. There's no value in it. We need foundation. And today we realize that Jesus Christ is that precious foundation. We cannot do anything without him, but we do build our lives upon him. That's how important he is. Let's look at verses 5 through 8. And now, Peter says, you've become living building stones for God's use of building his house. What's more, you are his holy priests. So come to him, you who are acceptable to him because of Jesus Christ, and offer to God those things that please him. As the scriptures express it, see, I am sending Christ to be the carefully chosen, precious cornerstone of my church, and I will never disappoint those who trust in him. Yes, he is very precious to you who believe. And to those who reject him, well, the same stone that was rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone, the most honored and important part of the building. And the scriptures also say he is the stone that some will stumble over and the rock that will make them fall. They will stumble because they will not listen to God's word nor obey it. And so this punishment must follow that they will fall. Folks, Jesus is not only the foundation of rock upon which God builds, but he is also, according to verses 6, 7, and 8, the cornerstone of the church, which is, as Peter puts it, the most important and honored part of the building. Once again, we denote Jesus' true value is indisputable. His worth is greater than anything or anyone's in this world. In Revelation chapter 5, Jesus is called worthy 6 times by angels and leaders who were allowed to say this because God gave them this. We see his worthiness. Paul said in Philippians 2:9 that Jesus' name is above every other name. Psalm 145:3, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable, which means it's infinite. There's no end to it. You will never find anyone or anything more valuable. Their true value is incomparable. My question is this: how much do we value them? How much do we place that kind of value on them? And how often do we say just how much we love them and appreciate them? Folks, I'm going to read a passage today that I believe is one of the most challenging passages in the entire Bible. As a matter of fact, when I read this, and we have conversations about this in our home often, my daughters will confirm this, and it's a very difficult conversation. It will be difficult words to hear today, but we're going to spend a little time talking about it. These words are from Matthew 10, 37 through 39. This is what Jesus says. And by the way, if we're going to assess his true value, we better read these words. Starting with verse 37, Matthew 10. Jesus says, "If you love your father and mother more than you love me, you are not," here's your word, "you are not worthy of being mine. If you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it, but if you give it up for me, you will save it." Now, we have a lot of conversations at our home, many of them centering around Jesus Christ. One of the conversations that we have often is this: never put us above Jesus. Never love us more than Jesus. Never value us more than Jesus. Never look to us as more important than God and his son Jesus. That is something that we stress over and over in our homes. A lot of people struggle with this. A lot of people have left the faith and they've left Jesus because they value their mother, their father, their sons, their daughters, their jobs, their homes, their cars. They enjoy and they value things more than our Heavenly Father and our Savior. We cannot do this. You see, if they have true value, then we will value them more than anything else. We have told our girls, if you ever have to make a choice, if it ever comes down to that, third world countries, it does. If it ever comes down to that, I hope you know what choice you'll make. You will choose Jesus over us every single day. They have true value. They're the ones that deserve it, and they're the ones that receive it. Now, these are tough words. They're tough words. Today in a church where you can sit back and relax, we know everybody, we laugh with everyone, we spend time worshiping a Savior without threat or without danger, we sit here and we say, I can't imagine what that would be like. In third world countries, they face it every single day. The value of Jesus Christ is so great that they go to their place and they worship him with no fear of death, with no doubt, every single day. We see their worth. Now the question is, what is ours? What is our true value? Is it safe to say that we would let God and Jesus determine it? Jesus says in Matthew 10:31 to his disciples, he says, "You are more valuable to him than many sparrows." In Matthew 12:12, Jesus asked the Pharisees, "How much more valuable is a person than a sheep?" Now, I don't know about you, but sparrows and sheep don't seem that valuable. Kind of makes me humble in a way. I wish they would have chosen elephants and eagles instead of sparrows and sheep. Seems like they're more valuable. But God understands what he's doing. And keep in mind that God understands and knows how many sheep there are and how many birds there are, and he knows the value of each and every one of them, and he knows how many of them there are. Now that gives me comfort. You see, our true value, our goodness, comes from our faith in our great and graceful God and our relationship in Jesus. Look at verses 9 and 10. Let's go back there to our sermon text. And here's what those verses say. Peter says, you're not like that. You have been chosen by God himself. And by the way, folks, if we've established their true value, the mere fact that there's no one more valuable, that they've chosen us, says a lot about how much they care about us and love us. That should make us feel pretty special today. You're not like that. You've been chosen by God himself. You're priests of the king. You're holy and pure. You're God's very own. All this so that you may show to others how God called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were less than nothing, but now you're God's own. Once you knew very little of God's kindness, now your very lives have been changed by it. Let's talk about darkness. What is valuable in darkness? Besides a match or light, you ever tried to use a power saw in darkness? How about a set of steak knives in darkness? How about a weed eater or a weed trimmer in darkness? Folks, let's face it. In darkness, there's not a lot of value in there. If there is no light, there is very little value in darkness. But here's what we know. We know, according to this passage, that we have been called out of the darkness into his, meaning Jesus, wonderful light. And when we're in light, we have value and we have use. This is important to note, especially today. Because without Jesus, we lived in darkness. We were, as Scripture says, less than nothing. Our worthiness, our worth, and our true value is dependent upon our relationship with Jesus. Folks, it pains me, especially in the industry that I spend the other half of my life in, it pains me with the number of suicides that are mounting each and every day in our society. And you want to know why? Because people today don't feel like they're worthy. They feel like they have no worth. They feel like they have no value. They feel like they have nothing to give and nothing to bring. And I read these words and I realize that the great one, the holy one, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent one says not only that we have value, but that we get our value from them. And if only we have the opportunity to share with these hurting people that the value that we search for starts with them. Are we okay with that? Do we understand that so many people today are searching for worth, they're looking for value, and we can tell them that the value comes from our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior. John the Baptist understood this. He said in Matthew 3:11, he says, "I'm not worthy to carry Jesus' shoes." Paul, when preaching to the people of Antioch, reiterated John the Baptist's words from Acts 13:25, which he referenced in Luke 3:16. He says, "In comparison with him," John said, he says, "I'm utterly worthless. When compared to Jesus, I'm utterly worthless." J. Sherrill Hendricks, when recounting the writings of H. Richard Niebuhr, once said, "Man is of value because he is of value to God." But he goes on. He says, "Man is of value because he's of value to God, but if something does not benefit, it is of no value." Now I want to think about that for a moment, because the word benefit's important. You see, our value is oftentimes seen for what we can benefit. We get to see our benefit. Let me tell you something, and I'm guessing that you would understand this. If you go to a store, specifically if you go to a True Value, you go to a store and you say, "Today I'm going to go to True Value and I'm looking for a value," and you go up and it's 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon and you go up and the door is closed. And you say, "Wait a second. I got to get my blender. I got to get my sled. I got to get my Charlie Brown on a skateboard. Where am I going to get these?" The door is closed. There is no value. There is no benefit. That true value has no value if the doors are closed. You can't save in a closed store. Let me tell you something, folks. You can be saved by an open Savior. You see, this is the difference. So often we put value in things that just will disappoint, things that really have no value. And when a store is closed, you can't save, but Jesus Christ is always open and always capable of saving. The question is, do we see that benefit, that important benefit that Jesus can do through us and for us? Let's move on. There is more here, and we don't want to miss it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, he says, "For God has bought you with a great price." There's more. He says, "So use every part of your body to give glory back to God." You know what that means? That means if we are going to have benefit, we'd better do something with it. We better do something with it. That's where the benefit comes from. There are so many people that have helped others, that live for their Heavenly Father, and then go out and do great things. And these things change people. These things bring people to salvation. That's the benefit, and it's important. There's more. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, he says, "Your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. According to God's word, we who belong to God and believe in Jesus have worth." Now, what benefit comes from it? The church has value, but it only has value if we open it. Folks, let me ask you something. If we had this brand new church, and we're moving in 2 weeks, and everybody says, "I want to see it." We said, "Well, sure, come on out." And so we bring everybody out, and they're under the portico, and they're waiting for the door to open, and they said, "All right, here we go. Let's take a look." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, we're going to go in. We want to go in and look at it. I'm like, "Well, no. We're not going to open it. We just built it. Nobody's going in it. It's just there. What benefit would it have? First of all, you guys would think I'm nuts. You might already think I'm nuts. But secondly, you look at that building and you say, but didn't we build it to worship in it? Didn't we build it to grow in it? Didn't we build it to bring others into it? No. We just thought it would be kind of neat to build it. We're not going to use it. There'd be no benefit. Folks, if we don't do something with God's work and God's values and God's talents that he's given us and our gifts, there's no benefit. So the question is, what are we doing with it? Jesus asked his disciples in Mark 8:37. He says, for is anything worth more than a soul? A saved soul is truly valuable when it starts doing God's work and it starts sharing God's word. This is a way in which God can address and assess our worth. We're not limited to our works, and we're certainly not limited to the words that we say, but we're assessed by them. The benefit can come from them. Folks, let me make sure we understand this. One of the most important things you're going to hear today is this. We are not saved by works, Ephesians 2:9. But we are saved to work, Ephesians 2:10. Long ages ago, that passage says, he, God, planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. We are not saved by works. We are saved to work. That means that we are saved to go out and be a benefit, an important benefit to others. This is a way in which our worth and our value are assessed. How is this assessed? By our works and by our words. By our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, who can assess our work and who hears our words. I'm going to read something from Philippians 3, 8 through 14, and then 4 verse 1. And here's what that passage says. Paul says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. I put aside all else, Paul says, counting it worth less than nothing in order that I can have Christ and become one with him. No longer counting on being saved by being good enough or by obeying God's laws, but trusting Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith, counting on Christ alone. Verse 10, now I've given up everything else. I found it to be the only way to really know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again and to find out what it means to suffer and die with him. So whatever it takes, I'll be the one who lives in the fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead. I don't mean to say I'm perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet, Paul says, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. Now, dear brothers, I'm still not all I should be, but I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 4. He says this, dear brother Christians, I love you and I long to see you, for you are my joy and you are my reward for my work. My beloved friends, stay true to the Lord. Paul understood work. I'm going to talk about the worth of our work that originates from our faith. How truly valuable is it? Who or what is getting the benefit? Is it of value? When we go do God's work, are we helping others, benefiting others, impacting others to bring people to our Lord and Savior? What does our work look like? How is it received? What does God expect, and how would he assess our work? Well, let's look at verse 5. He says, now you, which means us, he says, now you've become living building stones for God's use in building his house. We can look over at that new building, and I can look at that building, and I see all of you. It's true. I see your faces. I see your skills. I see your talents. I see your time. I see your prayers. I see every single one of your faces in that new building because you made a commitment. You said, I'm going to work. Now, your work looks different. I can't drive a tractor like Todd. I cannot plumb a bathroom like Jerry. But I can pray. I can pray. I can also lift chairs as long as my back helps me out. This is what we do. You see, our work begins in his church. It does not end in his church. Let's make sure we understand this. It begins in his church, but it does not end in his church. You see, folks, his incredible value is so incredible that not only is he the foundation, but he's the cornerstone. Jesus is the foundation of which we building stones build upon, but he is the cornerstone which aligns all of us building stones appropriately and accordingly. Without him, we are nothing. We have no building. How did you become building stones? Well, through your faith in Jesus Christ, you said, I want to do something. I want to impact others. I want to build a building. I want to share my faith. I want to do this because I have a changed life in Jesus Christ. Regarding that building, here's what you did. You said, what did I do? You worked. You pledged. You prayed. You provided. You went out and you proclaimed. But folks, let me make sure we understand this. We're not done building. Now, many of you would say, well, I know. There's like 2 weeks left. No, I don't mean that. I mean, we're not done building. We'll never be done building. Just because we have a new building doesn't mean that we're done building. There is more worthy, valuable work for us to do. Now, what does our church, what does our work, our church building look like? Let me ask you this. How would Jesus assess us? If he has true value, he is the ultimate possessor of value, he is the ultimate assessor of value, how would Jesus assess us? What would he see in us? How would he assess the work that we do for him? I'm going to read something from 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, God in his kindness has taught me how to be an expert builder. I've laid the foundation and Apollos has built on it. But he who builds on the foundation must be very careful. And no one can ever lay any other real foundation than that one we already have, Jesus Christ. But there are various kinds of materials that can be used to build on that foundation. Some use gold and silver and jewels, and some build with sticks and hay or even straw. There's going to come a time of testing at Christ's judgment day to see what kind of material each builder has used. Everyone's work will be put through the fire, so that all can see whether or not it keeps its value and what was really accomplished. Then every workman who is built on the foundation with right materials and whose work still stands will get his pay. But if the house he has built burns up, he'll have a great loss. He himself will be saved, but like a man escaping through a wall of flames. I read this passage and I think about the comment that one of Jesus' disciples made to him in Mark 13, 1 and 2. I always find this comedic in a way. That disciple said, as he and Jesus were leaving the temple that day, he looks at Jesus as he's standing in the forefront of the temple, and he says, teacher, which means Jesus, he says, what beautiful buildings these are. Look at the decorated stonework on the walls. I'm thinking, this guy is saying to the ultimate giver and maker, the true valuable one of all time. And he's saying, man, look at the building. This is amazing, Jesus. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, yes, look, for not one stone will be left upon another except as ruins. That guy just didn't get true value. He looked at Herod's temple, and again, it was an amazing building, folks. Make no mistake about it. But Jesus looked at it and said, it's going to be destroyed. You see, son, you're putting value in things that shouldn't have that value. The value lies in me, not in the building that you see. One of the world's greatest buildings would be destroyed. It had no value. Folks, let me ask you this. Does ours? You see, realistically, we'd see something like this. Let's start with this old building. 106 years old. 106 years old. Now, many people look around and as they smile, they say, does this building have value? Structurally, no. Has a little value. Certainly did not cover what we needed to cover, but it has covered our head for 106 years. It has fed souls for 106 years. It has loved people for 106 years. But folks, it's a building. It has structural value, but it also has spiritual value. Folks, I ask you this. What about the new building? Does it have value? Financially, you better believe it does. Structurally, I assure you it does. But my question, and the most important question I ask you today is this. Does it have spiritual value? What will happen in that new building? Will souls be saved in that new building? Will we grow in faith and maturity and spirituality in that new building? Will we invite others into that new building? Will we baptize believers into that new building? I see the value financially. I see the value structurally. But I don't want to be that disciple who says, Jesus, isn't that amazing? You know what I want to say? I want to say, Jesus, teach me how to make that building amazing. Teach me how to put you at the forefront of that building. Teach me how to make sure that the true value is seen in you and not that building. That's what we've served to do today. What is the worth of our works? Let's look at verse 12. Be careful how you behave among your unsaved neighbors, for then even if they're suspicious of you and talk against you, they'll end up praising God for your good works when Christ returns. Are we doing God's work, and are we, here's the second part, are we sharing God's word? Look at verses 8 and 9 one more time. The scriptures say he is the stone that some will stumble over, the rock that will make them fall. They will stumble because they will not listen to God's word nor obey it, and so this punishment must follow that they will fall. But you're not like that. You've been chosen by God himself. You're the priest of the king. You're holy and pure. You're God's very own. All this so that you may show to others how God called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. I love what Paul says in Acts 20:24. He says, life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Here it comes, the work of telling others the good news about God's mighty kindness and love. You agree? It's just that important. This has value. God's word has worth. Now, why does this old church still have assessed value and worth? Let me tell you why. Because this old church never compromised the value and the worth of God's word. I visited when I was a kid. I remember walking into this old church. There weren't many people here. I sat right over there where John McMullen sits. I remember the first time I went, I was like, man, that is a cool church. And I heard a fiery pastor preach a fiery sermon using God's fiery words. And I remember when I came here in 1994 and sat with the elders around that table, scariest meeting I've ever had. And I remember it was so important, and they made sure that it was important that I knew how important God's word truly was. And I knew at that point I would never share anything, and I will never do anything that is apart or away from God's word. And here we are, 25 years later, still preaching and teaching God's word. That's why it has assessed value. You know, I stand today before you, and I say it with conviction, the Bible is powerful, it is truthful, folks. It is invaluable, and we won't compromise it, and we won't change it. Earlier, we used God's word to assess Jesus' worth. It says he is the living foundation. He's the chosen, precious cornerstone. And in John 1:14, it says he is the living word. Folks, let me make sure we understand our worth and our value is displayed when we are allowed to go out and share and teach his word. You will have opportunities wherever you're at to do this. Don't run from this. Talk about God's word. Teach others about the love and the salvation available through Jesus. Folks, I ask you this question. What would have happened to this old church if there were no building stones, no saved souls, no chosen ones of God, no holy priest to do his work and share his word? Let me tell you something. There would be no property to assess because there would be no church. There would be no new church. There would be no people who would associate themselves with Covell Community Church. Your lives would be completely different. Do you agree? How many people would say your lives have been changed because you found Jesus Christ and because you found a church family and a church where you can grow in and learn in and worship in? I can tell you that my life and my kids' lives have been changed because of what has taken place in this church. Let me tell you how important God's word is. It changes lives whether we are inside or outside the church. If we didn't use God's word, we might be the ones that stumble over it, fall over it. But God chose us to build this. It was through him that we became more than nothing. We became something, not everything, because he's that. Chosen ones that love God's son and are compelled to do his work and share his word because we understand and appreciate his true value and worth. And because of this, we will eventually and eternally live in heaven with Jesus. Look at verse 11 as we close. Dear brothers, you're only visitors here. Since your real home is in heaven, I beg you to keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They're not for you, for they fight against your very souls. True value, folks, is never going to be found in an earthly structural church. True ultimate value will be seen and experienced in our eternal heavenly home. It is where our treasures, our works, will never lose their value, Matthew 6, verse 20. It's worth more than a great treasure or a choice pearl, Matthew 13, 44 through 46. It will be more treasured and more valuable than any earthly thing. It will be more valuable than everything, Revelation 21, 15 through 27. It is for those that are deemed worthy, Matthew 22, 1 through 14. Only God and Jesus can assess our true worthiness. So how will Jesus assess us when we leave this earth or he comes back for us? What will he say? And what does he see as we either do or don't do his work, as we either share or choose not to share his word? Were we the building stones? Or as verse 8 in our sermon text suggests, were we the stones that caused people to stumble over Jesus? Do we see the value of Jesus as our foundation, as our precious cornerstone that allows us just to be his humble building stones? As believers and followers of Jesus, we see his true value and we see his great worth. Folks, I close with this today. How will God and his holy and righteous and valuable Son, Jesus, how will they assess us? What do they see in us? We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. Folks, if there's anyone here today who's struggling, who said, you know what, I've strayed. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I need to be. I've fallen apart. I've fallen away. I don't read the Word. I'm not in the Word, and I need help. Today is your opportunity, folks. This is it. This is your opportunity to go before the Lord and say, Father, I've sinned and I've strayed. I need your help. I need to be saved. I need to be brought back to you because I know you're the one. You have the true value to bring me back to you. And so we're going to go before the Lord. We're going to pray for those needs of those individuals that are on our bulletin, but also we're going to pray for everyone here today that we would understand salvation that's available through God's holy and righteous Son. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, today we rejoice. We rejoice because we have a Savior who has the ultimate value. You sent him to die for us. You sacrificed him for us. And Father, today I pray that we will, as a collective group of congregants here, that we will not only believe in Jesus, but that we will love Jesus and live for Jesus, that we will be obedient to our Lord and to your word. Father, I pray today that as we come before you, our hearts convicted, being reminded that maybe, just maybe, we're not living lives that would be properly and valuably assessed by you. Father, I pray that we will live lives that are righteous and holy and obedient before you. Father, I pray that our works would be worthy. I know that your word is worthy, and I pray that you will give us opportunities to share it. I pray that we won't run from it. Father, I thank you for giving us a place to worship. There's so much more to life than buildings. And so, Father, I pray that you'll continue to help us to build. Help us to be those stones and help us to lean upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and the cornerstone who is Jesus Christ, and help us to realize that we are your building stones. Father, I pray today that you'll be with all of our people who are traveling and sick, who need help. There are people who are begging and pleading for mercy. People that are hurting and don't know where to go. People who are saying, I have no worth. I have no value. And yet we know because of your worth and your ultimate true value, we know that you can help them and that you can save them and that you can instill in them new, righteous, biblical, holy values. Father, I pray today that you'll be with our missionaries, our workers, and those who are doing your work in adverse circumstances, those who are putting their lives on the line every day they go before their congregants and their followers. Father, I pray today that you will give them your words. I pray that they will never stray from your word, and I pray I pray that it will accomplish all that you've called it to accomplish. Father, I thank you for every truth that comes from your word, and today I pray that we will obediently live by it. Convict us of our sins, we pray. Help us to see where we've gone wrong, and help us to be repentant and then obedient, I pray. We ask all these things according to your will. We give you the praise and the thanksgiving that's due you. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our final song. Here's the announcement. Next Sunday, the last Sunday that we will worship in this old church. A lot of memories, a lot of great things that have happened, and it will culminate next Sunday in a very, very special final Covell Community Church Old Church service, and I am looking so forward to it, and I know that you are too. If you want to invite people, again, we're going to do two services, so certainly that would be something that we would encourage you to do as well. My daughters are going to be, I'm prepared, Jillian, you said I'm going to be a sloppy mess. She's ready. So it's going to be neat, but folks, I ask you to do this. Never place more value on anything than Jesus Christ, because he is the one who has the truest and most value. And so it gets bigger than a building. He's bigger than anything, and he's bigger than everything. And remember, that is who we place our true value in. Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for reminding us that you own everything, you are everything. And Father, today, I pray that we will align ourselves with you, that we will love you and believe in you and live for you, because we know that we get our true value and our worth from you, and then we know that you'll use us. You'll put us in opportunities and appointments where we can share your word and do your work. And Father, thank you for that reminder today. We need to look no further than that new building to be reminded of your grace, your power, your love, and your mercy, and we are grateful for all of it. Father, thank you for every one of these individuals in here. They're building stones. We're building stones, and we're called to continue building your church. I pray that we will do this obediently, and I pray that we'll do it with trust, and I ask it according to your will. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.